Good morning, everyone. Hope you're all doing well. Still praying, I hope, for the church to be able to reopen, for this is the 10th week I have been doing this and in an empty church. And I don't know about you all, but I'm getting sick of it. I want to be able to come together again and love on one another and worship the Lord together. And I'm believing that that's going to be soon. All right, so here it is, Memorial Day weekend. I'm guessing there won't be near the amount of travel this weekend that normally takes place on Memorial Day, even though most of the states are relaxing their stay-at-home orders. But anyway, so there'll be a different kind of a holiday, I'm sure, for most families. In Illinois, still not allowed to have more than 10 people. And so it's going to be an interesting holiday for us in Illinois. Well, on to what the Lord has put on my heart to share with you today. I want to talk to you today about salt and light. And I want to read from Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. Reads as follows. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. Your word is truth. And Father, I pray that your word would go forth today. And everyone that listens to this message, everyone that watches this message on our website, that Lord God, your spirit will abound in their lives and that you will bring this truth to fruition. Father, I pray that you hide me behind the cross of Calvary as I bring this message, that you put a watch on my mouth that I would only speak the words you ordained for this morning, not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. As we walk day by day through the process we are in with what has been deemed a pandemic, people are getting frustrated, people are getting depressed, and people are getting oppressed. Our government is printing trillions of dollars that we don't have, which is surely going to lead to hyperinflation in the near future. Eventually, people are going to be looking for answers to why this is all happening. Eventually, people are going to realize that a man or men aren't able to fix this, no matter how hard they try. So far, unfortunately, I am not seeing any indication that people in general are turning to God for answers. However, as things get more and more tough, with time, there will be a point where the Spirit of God breaks through on the scene and people will realize it's time to cry out to God in earnest repentance. That is what we need to be ready for when it happens. The body of Christ are the ones that are called to be salt and light. We are the ones that can give people answers from the truth, which is God's Word. Now in this process that I know in my heart is going to take place, God is going to break through with His Spirit at some point, and people are going to be driven to their knees and on their faces in repentance. People that maybe are backslidden, people that maybe have never known the Lord, but people are going to be, not everyone of course, talked about stiff-necked people at the beginning of this year when I shared the word for this year that God had spoken to me. One of the things He spoke to me is stiff-necked people. And I told you then, this is not good, because whenever I see that phrase used, When God speaks in that terminology throughout the Word of God, it has never been a good thing for the people that he spoke that over. Because the stiff-necked people that he talked about in many of those cases were people that were destroyed. He ended up destroying them. And I didn't say that to say that our whole nation's going to be destroyed at all. There will be people that will soften and come to Christ. And that's what we need to be ready for, guys. We are supposed to be the salt and the light in this earth. So, as we think about that, the first major point we want to look at this morning comes from verse 13 of our text, when it says, "You are the salt of the earth." And this is speaking to believers. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ right now, then you are the salt of the earth. Salt gives food flavor and is also a preservative. Before we had refrigeration, the way that people preserved their meat, made it last longer, is they would rub salt into it and hang it, and it would keep for actually a pretty amazing amount of time that way. Not like we have today freezing it. But salt is a preservative in that way. And salt also is a flavor enhancer. We, many times, over the years, I grew up with a dad that loved salt. And every time he'd sit down to eat, he didn't even taste what the food tasted like. He just grabbed a salt shaker and started putting salt all over everything because he loved salt. Nothing was ever cooked salty enough for him. He had to add salt. So it's a flavor enhancer. So then Christians, by the way we live, and also through what we speak and teach, are to be the moral compass that keeps the world from total moral corruption. Through our prayers, the blessing of God, and by our influence, we should be the restrainer in the earth. God has called us to be the restrainer in the earth. We, the church, have failed miserably at this. We, the church, as a whole, in this nation, have failed miserably. Many, many churches, many, many pastors, many, many leaders over the last few decades have thrown away sound doctrine for doctrine that is weak and groundless in the name of church growth. Instead of going and taking courses on how to more effectively preach the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God, people go to church growth seminars and learn how to grow their church instead of growing the body of Christ through the preaching and the teaching and the Word of God. I feel like preaching even though this building's empty. I'm passionate about this because it's been a big problem in our culture, and it still is today. So we need an awakening. And those who are still rooted and grounded in God's Word need to rise up and be counted. We need to rise up and be the salt and the light of the earth again. Through our prayers, are we praying? Do we pray before we shut our eyes at night when we go to bed? Do we pray when we open them in the morning and start our day in prayer? Are we praying for our nation, or are we only praying for our own needs? And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with praying for your own needs and your protection and praying for your family. You should be. But we are also supposed to be praying for our nation, praying in repentance on behalf of our nation for the horrific things that have been going on in our nation. And the church has been way too silent on many of the issues. And so, as I said a few moments ago, we, the church, have been failing miserably at being salt and light. The church has begun to look too much like the world. Instead of being a light on a hill, and has been something in the valley. And we got to get it right, guys. Verse 13 goes on to say, when the salt has lost its saltiness. When salt loses its saltiness. When it has become tasteless and lost its preserving qualities. Now this will preach. The body of Christ as a whole in this nation has lost its taste, its flavor. In the name of church growth, the church has become too much like the world, too much in the world. See, we're supposed to be in the world without being part of the world. When the church decided that church growth was the most important thing, then church started ignoring sin in the camp. And once we started ignoring sin in the camp, then people come in with their sin and they're not convicted because the word's not being preached and it's not being enforced. Then we are no longer salt and light in the earth. We no longer flavor the earth, but we become just like the rest of the world. Instead of being in the world without being part of the world. So to be salt and light, we need to come back to basics and be in the world without being part of the world system. The salt used in this area of the world is a chemical compound called muriate of soda. Muriate of soda in this part of the world. And if it loses its saltiness, it's good for nothing. In Eastern countries, however, the salt used was impure, mingled with plant and earthy substances, so that it would lose its saltiness and a considerable amount of earthy matter remained. This was good for nothing, except that it was used, as it is said, to place in paths or walks, as we use gravel. Remember, in our text, it says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. The whole idea of being thrown out and trampled by men means that it was just thrown out like gravel into the path and people walked on it. Well, let's break that down. See, I think Jesus was saying that if we lost our flavor as believers, it was a warning, and if we lose that preserving power, then what happens next is we get walked on. We get trampled on. And the body of Christ is being trampled on, and we've allowed it because we have become like the world. We haven't even called sin sin anymore. And when I say we, I'm saying as a whole in this nation. There are exceptions. I'm still preaching the word, and there are others that are still preaching the word. But they have been becoming more and more far and in between. That the preachers are still preaching the word of God and calling sin, sin, and calling people to repentance. It's a huge, huge problem. Mark 9, verse 50 says, salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? And Mark pens it this way, have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other. So Mark says it that way. Have salt in yourselves. Be salty. Be a preservative. Stand firm on the word of God. Stand on it and proclaim it on the Word of God. Be salty. Be a flavor and be a preserver. Second major point we see comes from verse 14. We've looked at the fact that we are the salt of the world. That's what we're called to be, is the salt of the world. And then in this verse it says, you are the light of the world. In Scripture, the light of the world often alludes to the sun or daylight. When we see the light of the world used in Scripture, it alludes to the sun or daylight. John chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, for example. John 11, verses 9 and 10 says, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light. So, he says there's 12 hours of daylight, and a man who walks by day will not stumble. You know, as I was preparing this again, I've read this many, many, many countless times over the last 40 years, but it occurred to me again how much I was in the darkness and really didn't realize it before I came to Christ. I was in the darkness in the sense that I had no foresight. I couldn't see down the road ahead of me because I was walking in sin. My life was full of sin. And I was selfish instead of selfless. And you guys all know how that is. But I was walking in darkness. Just like what we see here. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles. I stumbled all the time. Because I was walking by night, because I allowed sin to have its way in my life. Maybe somebody listening or watching today is picking up on what I'm putting down. We need to learn to walk in the daylight. Again, this alludes to the sun or daylight. See, the sun makes everything visible. It's amazing. When you're out in the middle of the night, and if it happens to be a cloudy night, and the moon is covered, and the stars, it can be really, really dark out. The darkest I have ever seen it outside was when we were in Africa, and we would be way out in the villages at night, and we'd be out in a village away from all electricity and all light. Man, when you want to talk about dark, you're talking dark. I could not see my hand in front of my face. It was so dark there. And you know, here, we look around and you can see rays of light from cities and towns when we're out. And yeah, it's kind of dark where we're at, but trust me, it's not dark. The kind of dark that Jesus is talking about here has to do with the absence of light. And that's the kind of darkness I'm talking about in Africa. You see, darkness is literally the absence of light. Darkness has no power at all. It's the absence of light that gives darkness its power. And so, the sun reveals everything, including good things, as well as deformities or faults. Did you ever wonder why, when you come into a situation where there's a lot of darkness and a lot of sin, maybe into a person's life, and you start shedding the light of Christ, that there are people that get really angry and lash out, it's because the darkness in them does not like the light in you. That is exactly why it is. The darkness in them does not like the light in you. Oh, I have that happen. You know, the word's out, man. I grew up here and the word's out. I'm a pastor. And it's amazing to me how some people respond when I come walking into a place. They just scatter. They scatter. You know what it's like? It's like turning on the light switch in a hotel room that's full of cockroaches. You flip on the hope. You flip on the light in the hotel room, and the cockroaches run, man. They scatter. Well, see, the cockroaches like darkness. They don't come out when it's light. Did you ever wonder why people that are partiers, and I can say this because I was one, BC, tend to party in the middle of the night the hardest? Because they like to dwell in darkness. They like to do it under the cover of darkness. In the morning, when the sun comes up and the light shines, it's time for some people to give it up. Sometimes we kept going. So, bad thing. Don't go down that road. So the sun makes everything visible. I love mornings. I'm an early riser. I wake up, I'm almost flawlessly awake before the sun rises. And when I see the first light coming in the window, or if I'm out and I happen to be setting down by the river somewhere or something, and the first light comes up, I love it. That's the best part of the day for me. I just absolutely love it when the sun comes up and starts making everything visible again. And I know wildlife likes that too, because that's when the birds start chirping, the chickens start clucking, and the roosters start crowing. They love it. So also in Scripture, light is often used in reference to Christian teachers. Okay? First place I want to look is in Isaiah 49, verse 6. Thinking about this whole idea that light is often used in reference to Christian teachers. Isaiah 49, verse 6. He says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. So this comes through the prophet Isaiah. It's talking about Jesus. He says, I will also make you a light for the Gentiles. Jesus is a light to everyone. He's a light for the Gentiles. He is referred to as Rabbi or Rabboni or teacher. He's referred to in that sense. And he is the light of the world. And when we are in him, then we are the light of the world as his bride. Next one is in John 1, verses 3 through 5. John 1, verses 3 through 5 says, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Did you ever walk up on a group of people and enter into their conversation and inject something biblical, some biblical truth, and they look at you like you've got lobsters crawling out of your ears and back in again? It's because people that are living in darkness do not understand the light. We see it right here. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Listen, guys, that's why we need to learn to be the whole package. We need to be salt, and we need to be light. It's why Jesus made this statement the way he did. You see, if we come walking up on people and come across like know-it-alls, like we have every answer and we're all that, people will tune us out. Every time, they will tune us out because it will turn them off. But if we instead approach them gently, lovingly, and wait and pray for an opportunity to interject something from the Word of God and make clear that it's the Word of God that is truth. It's the Word of God that has all the answers, because it does. It's not us, ourselves, that have all the answers, but it's the Word of God that has all the answers. And Jesus Christ is that living Word. And so when we bring the Word of God in that way, lovingly. Recently, I was at a place that I've begun to start getting gas once in a while, and it's kind of, I always say I have projects. It's a person God has put on my heart to be a light to. The other day, I stopped there, and he's got a pretty foul mouth. And he started taking the Lord's name in vain. And I was talking with him, and I didn't say it in a judgmental way at all. I just told him, you know, did you know I'm a pastor? I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. Well, no, I didn't know that. I said, oh, well, I am. I just thought I'd tell you since I've been doing business here lately. And then I said, there's something else I wonder if you know. Did you know that it says in the Word of God that He will not hold anyone guiltless that takes His name in vain? And man, he just stopped and he looked at me and his eyes were wide. And there's this big, long, uncomfortable, empty space of time. And I finally said, well, I just wanted you to know. I felt a responsibility to let you know that as a warning. And anyway, we said some niceties and I went on my way. But he didn't get mad. He looked freaked out. And then when I left there, I said, Lord, I planted a seed there. Keep bringing that up to him. Every time it's on his tongue to take your name in vain, Lord, remind him of what I told him. Remind him of that. That he will not be held guiltless if he continues to do that. Salt and light, guys. We don't need to be mean and shouldn't be. We need to be loving, but we also need to tell people the truth and then live it after we've done it. Now, he knows I'm a pastor now, so he's going to be watching me because he didn't know me before. He's going to be watching me really close. So, if I went walking in there and was in a conversation with some people I know from my past or something, and I start dropping words that wouldn't be good, I'm probably going to turn him off. So we have a responsibility to live out what we speak. If we're going to be salt and light, we've got to live out what we speak. Okay, got to keep moving. John 8, verse 12. Gospel of John 8, verse 12. Says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Thank God, ever since I got born again, ever since you got born again, you don't have any reason to be walking in darkness because we have the light of the world living in us. And if He is our Lord and Savior, then He is directing our steps. And if He is directing our steps, then we will not fall. So, I am the light of the world, He says. Isn't that interesting? And then as we are born again and accept Him, then you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Jesus said, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The sun is the light of the world. Remember I talked about the sun, S-U-N, earlier in this message? Well, now I'm talking about the sun, S-O-N. The sun is the light of the world. Jesus is in the moral world what the sun is in the natural world. Let me say that again. Jesus is in the moral world what the sun is in the natural world. When the sun comes up in the morning, it lights all things. Everything that was hidden all night long is on display. Everything. Well, Jesus, in the moral world, comes in with the light and exposes the sin. Remember, I said sin is darkness. Darkness is merely the absence of light. Jesus is the light of the world, and in him, you are the light of the world. Are you with me? So, all true Christian are lights of the world because we, by our teaching and example, display what God requires of us. By our teaching and by the example that we live, we display what God requires of us. Okay? Secondly, what the condition of man is. Our teaching and our example displays what the condition of man is. You know what the condition of man is without Christ? Depravity. We are depraved. We are broken and hopeless. But we are not depraved when we are in Christ. When he is Lord and Savior of our lives and his light indwells us and then we become the light of the world, then the condition of man has passed from death to life, from darkness to light. And thirdly, by our teaching example, and we light the way that leads to heaven. We, like lighthouses, light the way that leads to heaven. When we share Christ with people and lead people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, then we are leading them to the light. We are leading them to Jesus Christ. And that's the people we are called to be. I spent too many years wasting my life leading people. I was leading people. I was a born leader. People would follow me, and I was leading people to hell. And that was the thing, the most horrifying thing to me when my eyes were opened to what I had been doing. And it made me weep for the first several months. Off and on, I would be weeping about the people that I had turned on to drugs, the young kids that I worked with that I turned on to drinking and turned on to smoking cigarettes and turned on to this and turned on to that and were leading them down a path that led to destruction. That reality broke my heart for what I'd done. And I tried to get a hold of as many of those as I could after I got saved and share the gospel with them. Over the years, there have been people from that life that have come into this church. If for nothing else, to visit once, but at least come and check it out. And some are here and part of our church from my past and have given their lives to Christ. That has brought me great joy. So, yeah, the third thing, a light that leads the way to heaven. By our teaching and by our example, we are a light that leads the way to heaven. Third major point. Says a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Let me explain where this might be coming from. Many of the cities in Judea were placed on the top or sides of mountains and could be seen from far away. This was the case with Jerusalem. And it is said that near the place where Jesus is supposed to have delivered his sermon, there is still such a town called Sephat, anciently called Bethesda, and can be seen from far away. Possibly, Jesus pointed to this city and told his disciples that they were like it. They were seen from afar. Their actions could not be hidden. The eyes of the world were upon them. They must be seen, and as this was the case, they ought to be holy, harmless, and undefiled. Guys, we have a responsibility, once we are born-again believers in Jesus Christ, to follow after his marching orders. It is so vitally important that he be the Lord of our life and not just a wet blanket to take us through the flames. Not just Savior, but Lord. It is only through his Lordship that we will fulfill the commission to be salt and light in this world. That's the only way it can happen. We can't do that in our own strength. It has to be done through the power of the Spirit of the living God living in us and through us. That then the light shines and that we have a savor. I didn't say savior. We do have a savior. I'm talking about a savor, a flavor in this world. Some people will reject that flavor. Some people do. Actually, according to the Word of God, the majority do. But what's on my heart is to reach every single person until I take my last dying breath that I can possibly reach and make the devil pay for the years that I spent leading people into darkness. And take as many people as I can to follow me in the light to Jesus Christ. Verse 15 says, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. That's verse 15. Jesus shows us here that the very reason why we have been enlightened is that others might also see the light and benefit through it. When men light a lamp, they do not conceal the light, but place it where it may be of use. So it is with faith. It is given that we may benefit others. It is not to be concealed, but used to show itself and to shed light on a surrounding wicked world. God has given us faith to exercise it. The light that we have, we should not try to quench it. That also has been happening for the last few decades. It started with my mom and dad's generation. My mom and dad's generation, in that generation, they said, well, my faith is personal. I need to keep it to myself. The enemy was very tactful in planting that seed in people's minds back then. And they thought they were doing good because they possessed faith themselves, but never shared it with anyone, including their kids. And so then my generation that didn't grow up in a Christian home didn't learn much and weren't encouraged much by their parents because the parents didn't talk to them about their faith. They did not let their light shine in their home, let alone anywhere else. Because this enemy planted this lie in them that they should keep their faith to themselves. Now the Word of God says just the opposite. We're called to be salt and light. We're called to be examples of the world, to the world. We're called to be the flavor of the world. It's time we get back to that. It is given that we may benefit others. The faith that we have is given that we may benefit others. It is not to be concealed, but used to show itself and let that light shine around a wicked world. Fifth and final major point. In the same way, let your light shine before men, verse 16, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Now, this is not saying that we are supposed to do what we do, looking around like the Pharisees, and make sure there's enough people watching the good we do. Walking up to the altar and putting money down in front of the people and making a big deal out of it, or making a big deal that everyone should see the good thing we do for someone else, that kind of a thing. That's not what this is talking about. That comes from pride, and the Word of God is clear about that, that pride goes before the fall. And that kind of a spirit is a Pharisee kind of a spirit. So that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about us living our lives and living a pattern of good living, a pattern of good deeds, of doing good to people. And praising our Father in heaven in sincerity. Not so that people are impressed with the way we worship God. Not even thinking about the person to our left and our right and the people that are behind us, because we're here to worship God. You are wherever you're at today to worship God. Praise Him in His fullness. He's worthy of all praise. Let your holy life, including your pure conversation and your faithful instruction, be seen everywhere and known always in all societies, in all business, at home and out about, in prosperity and adversity. Let it be seen that you are real Christians. We need to live out our life, whether we're going through hard times or good times. People need to see that we are the same person on Monday that we are on Sunday. That we're the same person on Saturday night that we will portray to be on Sunday morning. People need to see that. That's what this is talking about, letting our light shine before men. That they may praise your Father in heaven, it says, verse 16, that they may praise your Father in heaven, praise and honor God, or be led to worship Him, seeing in your lives the evidence of faith and the power and purity of the gospel, they may be won over to be Christians also, and give praise and glory to God for His mercy to a lost world. In a nutshell, that's how we're to be salt and light in the world. Living out our life, marching to God's marching orders, allowing the Holy Spirit to direct our every step, doing nothing without hearing from God first, making no major or small decisions without seeking God first, and then waiting for the answer. That's the hard part. People sometimes, did you pray about that? Yeah, I prayed about that. Did you wait for the answer? My kids, when they were teenagers, I would ask, you're going to do that? Did you pray about that? Oh, yeah. Did you wait for the answer? Well. In conclusion, Philippians 2, verses 14 and 15. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. See, we're supposed to shine like stars in the universe. We as children of God live in a crooked and depraved generation. That's a fact. But it's time we get the depraved part of our lives under our feet. Jesus Christ came to set us free from the bondage to sin. And we got to let it go. And we also need to clean up the church. We've got to stop turning our eyes the other way and allowing sin to abound in the church. It's got to come to an end, because Jesus is coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. And I would assert today there are a lot of rotten spots in the body of Christ. We need awakening. We need revival. Pray with me and believe for it. 1 Peter 2, verse 12. 1 Peter 2, verse 12 says, "Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of wrongdoing, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us." I want a visitation. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about revival, when we're talking about awakening. That is a manifestation, a visitation of the Holy Spirit of God. I want that. I want it so bad I can't hardly stand it. We need it so bad in this nation, I can't hardly take it. I've been praying so long for it, and I'm believing for it. It's coming. It's coming. So let's take a quick review of what we have learned today. First, that faith, if it exists, cannot be concealed. We're not supposed to hide it. If faith exists, stop trying to hide it. Number two, that where it is not manifest in the life, it does not exist. Where faith is not evident, it does not exist. Faith needs to be acted on. It needs to be expressed, or it doesn't exist. Faith without works, according to the Word of God, is dead. Don't want no dead faith. Want a faith that's alive. Third, that people that profess faith who live like other men give evidence that they have never been renewed or regenerated. This is what we've learned today. People that profess faith and continue to live like people who don't profess faith give evidence that they have never been reborn, that they have never been renewed or regenerated. People need to get real. It's more than a profession with the mouth. In Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, it says it's with the heart that we believe, and it is with our mouth that we confess unto salvation. The confession without the heartfelt conviction and repentance has to be there. Fourth, that to attempt to conceal or hide our Christian knowledge or experience is to betray our trust and render our lives useless. I'll say that again. To attempt to conceal or hide our Christian knowledge or experience is to betray our trust and render ourselves useless. Number five, that good actions will be seen and will lead men to honor God. Guys, let's get back to basics. Let's get down to ground level. Let's be the salt and the light of the world. This is what God has called us to do. This is who God has called us to be, as we allow Him to manifest His presence in our lives and through our lives. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You so much for Your Word, and we pray that this Word would take root in every heart of every person that listens to it or watches this message on our website. Father, I thank You for Your Word. It is clear. It is concise. And Lord, first of all, we ask for Your forgiveness for the times when we haven't spoken up, when we haven't lived right in front of the people that we're living in front of. Lord, we thank You that Your Word tells us that if we confess our sins, You are faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. And Lord, we thank You for that. So Lord, we ask Your forgiveness, and we pray now that You would empower us, that Your Spirit would fall on us afresh right now, and that, Lord, You would make us the salt and the light of this world through the power of Your Spirit. Lord, we receive that from you. And we pray, Lord, that we will never, ever be the same from this moment forward. We have been changed. We've been convicted. We have been ignited. We have been renewed. And we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.